2016, the great year for whatever you need it to be. This is the award-winning podcast from a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.org for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. While you're there, consider becoming a partner with us by clicking on the partnership section. Be a part of something big. Make an eternal difference today as you, together with us, bring the message of faith to the world. Together, we can do far more than any of us could ever do alone. And lastly, get on our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. This ministry is a nonprofit 501c3 corporation, and your giving is tax deductible. And now, let's join the special guest host of today's Godcast, Tim McDonald.
Hello, everyone. This is Tim McDonald here. I know it's been a long time since I've done a Godcast for A History with God, but I'm here this week with a Who's Your Daddy Godcast. And I'd like to welcome our listeners, our partners, our subscribers, our friends and family, and especially the first-time listener joining us today.
I'm here with Pastor Alan Kirkpatrick and Joshua Kazam, Ronaldo, and we're going to be talking about today on today's Godcast about intimacy with the Father and what that looks like. But before we get to that, I want to talk to you a little bit about something that Frank presented a long time ago about big news that Tim was going to announce. And I know it seems like a long time before we got to announce this. What the big announcement is, and actually some of you have found out that announcement because you emailed me and you kind of did a little search on my name. I didn't know if I told you guys this, but cool. They were like, are you starting your own ministry? Cool. And I was like, well, it's like I was found out. Like,
prophetic word.
yeah. So the big news is I am starting a ministry with these amazing men of God. And doesn't mean that I'm leaving A History with God. I'm still there. I'm still acquainted and involved all the time. We're starting our own ministries. It's called Red Strawberry Ministries. What we're really hungry for is to just raise up men and women to be totally devoted disciples of who Christ is. And we want to come along other ministries and bless them. We've got everything in place, and you can go there. It's actually redstrawberryministries.org. And there's some videos there from me and Pastor Alan about where our heart is and where the name Red Strawberry Ministries came from. And we're just really excited. And what we're going to do is we're going to produce a weekly video. A lot has to do with, like, my favorite question. What does that look like? So what does it look like to, you know, have intimacy with the Father, like we're going to be talking about today? They're going to be videos. Joshua Kazam is our video editor, and he's already produced a bunch of videos. And we're just really excited about the ministry and what the Lord has for us. We're seeing the fruits of partnership, as Frank and Christina have been talking about for a long time, and the benefits of that are just, they're just amazing. They're just truly amazing. As we learn to partnership with one another, you know, there's an increase, a tenfold increase when we hook up with one another in anointings and benefits. And it's just, as we're starting to unpack that and what it means, it's just ridiculous. And so I would highly encourage you to partner with somebody. Ask the Lord who he would have you partner with, because, you know, man, it's just a tremendous blessing. So we're also on Facebook. We would love for you guys to look us up on Facebook, Red Strawberry Ministries, obviously, and we just can't wait. So we're going to get right into the talk today, and it's about intimacy with the Father, and what does that look like? So what do you guys have to say about that? I know once we get Pastor Alan rolling, it'll be
stuff will just start. What does it look like? That's awesome. You know, it has to look like something.
Yeah, that's amen. Amazing.
No one can see the Lord. No one can see the Father and live. Only dead men see the Lord. So it has to look like something different than what we've been used to. And my big thing is, just because I lived it, is being a good church-going member for, you know, since I was 5 or 6, I guess, 7 or something. Like, Tim and I started at the same church, and just all through my teen years and through my 20s and 30s and almost all the way through my 40s now, is you could go your whole life and never be different, you know? And for a long time, we were no different. Called, I mean, said the right things. And amen, that's on the path. That's what's so amazing is that, amen, salvation isn't the issue. Because all who call on the name of the Lord. So I believe if you come, you call on the name of the Lord, amen. But I could be in a place in my life where I'm calling on the name of the Lord, but then doing things way different. That's not intimacy. I mean, if I'm like the world, it's like you have enough relationship to go to church and you have enough relationship, maybe read the Bible every once in a while, and then you come across really tough verses. Like, you know, you're not of the world. You know, friendship with the world is death, is enmity towards God, which is death, you know, separation. Like, whoa, what, aren't I supposed to excel in the world? Aren't I supposed to do well? Aren't I supposed to be a good steward? And yeah, well, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that works. And I think that that's kind of where we've come after years of just kind of realizing we're not where we should be, but knowing there's something more. And in that desire to see something more, hearing people talk, seeing, you know, kind of the heroes of the faith. I mean, there's a bunch of heroes out there, but I mean, even ministers, modern ministers is kind of what I like. Is like, it's easy to look at Jesus and that's good, but there's something about seeing a man walk out, you know, what it looks like in humility. You see that humility and you're like, I didn't even know what humility looked like.
Right. Now you were saying, it's interesting. You said like a desire. You know, it's that desire. How do we get to a place where we're desiring the Lord?
I think
that's the beginning of like intimacy. Is like, and I know for me, like what helps me is when that's kind of like the way, you know, if you go to the web or the Red Strawberry Ministries page, it tells you what the, you know, the red strawberry means. And I think I've shared it before, but it's like the red strawberry is red, so the green strawberries know what red looks like. And so we were even talking today, we had a meeting at our church, a men's breakfast, and we're trying to exemplify what does it look like to other people to be passionate for the Lord.
Right.
So desire, I think, gets birthed when you start to see in somebody
Amen.
Else, wow, man, that guy is really passionate.
Amen.
I mean, I can
Amen.
See a real difference
Amen. That's cool.
In his heart.
Yeah. I think it's when we start to see like love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering.
Right.
Yeah, but I don't have long-suffering in my life. So like all of a sudden, there's like a dichotomy of like, well, this is what I'm supposed to be walking out, but man, I'm really fast to anger. I really fly off the handle or like, yeah, the other day I flew off the handle at my boss or someone I work with and man, that guy just gets under my skin. And then you hear someone say, yeah, you're supposed to love everyone.
Oops.
And I think, yeah, oops. And I think that that's kind of like what gets me excited is the revelation that God loves me so much that he sent his son to set me free, right? And to pull me up out of the muck and the mire, to not be in that place. But when I see that I am in that place, so salvation has occurred. I've received Jesus. I'm walking with him, but I'm not exemplifying who he is. And seeing that those things aren't in my life, what I want to encourage everybody to see, because it's the truth, it's what happened in my life, is that the revelation that I'm not living in the place where Jesus would have me doesn't disqualify me. God's not offended. He's not disappointed. It puts an even greater draw on him to draw me in, to walk like that, so that I don't have to feel bad. I just have to recognize that that behavior isn't what God's calling me to, and just be honest and open and say, Lord, have your way. Lord, I'm struggling in this area, but that takes relationship.
Well, talk about what the Lord was talking to you about being on the road. I think that'll bless people too.
Yeah.
Because,
I was going to a service outside of Philly and I was late and I was trying to get there. I was very frustrated. I was getting a little upset. The traffic had just completely stopped on 95 and I was totally stopped. I couldn't get there. So I'm getting upset and I felt like the Lord said, why are you getting upset? And I know he knows exactly why I'm he knows all things. Come on. He's asking to get me to look at the situation. And so I was like, well, Lord, because I can't get to the service. And he goes, I want you to look out the window. And so I looked out the window and because the car was stopped, I could look down right at the road. And so I'm sitting on the highway, totally stopped. And I look down at the road and I see the road. And the Lord goes, as I look at the road, he goes, that's the road that's going to take you to where you're going. The reason why that's so significant is because the revelation is I'm on the road. I'm not off somewhere else. I'm not heading in a different direction. I may not be going as fast as I want, but I'm on the road that's going to take me to where I need to go. So God isn't offended by the fact that maybe I'm struggling or I'm not going so fast, because speed isn't really the issue. It's that, as is my heart yielded to what he wants to do in my heart? Is my heart yielded? So that's why the Lord says that a contrite heart, you know, he will not deny. A contrite spirit is he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Why? Because the humble recognize, I need you. I want you in my life. So come, Lord, have your way. Do your thing. If I'm proud and I'm saying, I don't need, oh, I'm doing just fine. I heard a great message once. It's like, that's why we're given such long lives. We have plenty of time. I mean, for the most part, our given time, you know, after a couple of years to see that, hey, you know what? I'm really not walking in peace. I'm really not walking in long suffering. I really don't, you know, I really am quick to anger. Man, what am I going to do about that?
Amen. What I think is cool, and what I was getting while you were talking earlier, was like, it'd be great to examine, like, what's the fruit of intimacy with the Father, right? And that's sort of what you're getting into.
Yeah, it's amen.
Like,
amen.
I've got peace.
Amen.
I know who I am.
Amen.
I love well.
Amen.
I'm not offended by people who
amen.
Get angry with me and curse me out. Like, if we can see what the fruit is, like, and that's what you were saying before,
yeah,
it's like, let's look at this pastor's life. Like, I've never met a more humble man. Well, how do you think he got there?
Yeah, amen.
That doesn't come amen. By...
Yeah, he didn't just being by, he wasn't, you know, just born with that.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, we talk about the fruit of intimacy. We can even then work backwards and be like, this is what intimacy... the fruit is, and how did we get there, right? Because there's levels of intimacy too, like, and in different
amen.
Levels of intimacy that births different levels of fruit. Lesson 101 isn't I get into a huge car accident and then I get out and pray for everybody, you know? Like, it doesn't happen that way. You're probably not gonna you know, pass the test that way. So it's levels of, like,
amen.
Just like there's levels of intimacy with him. So,
you know, you go through, I think you see something maybe in your life that isn't where you want it to be.
Right.
I've talked about, like, how do you build every spiritual blessing before? And so if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it.
Amen.
But it's like you start to see revelation. You start to pray, declare, and bless your life to walk in that. Then the Lord puts you in positions where you got to put that on. So how
amen.
Does he get humble? How do we get intimate with the Father?
Yeah.
You start to walk things out with him. And you're like,
right.
Man, you're a really good dad.
Yeah.
Right? It's that tasting and seeing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I just want to read Jeremiah 18, verse 1, because it talks about him being the master potter. But it ties in nicely, Alan, to I think what you were saying, where he was like, Alan, look at the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's something to seeing, you know, just be thinking about that, because when I'm done, you can talk again.
Amen.
But there's something to seeing what he wants to do that gets you excited about what he's about to do.
Yeah, amen.
That might be worth saying again. There's something... when you see what he wants to do, that gets you excited, right? So he loves asking questions because it gears you. He's like, I'm about to do something really cool, and I want you to see it before I do it, because I want you to embrace it.
Right? Yeah, amen.
Right? So because we can whine and complain in desperation, but he wants us to declare an expectation.
Right.
And amen. So Jeremiah 18:1, it says, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you the message. Right? So where is he? He's somewhere. Maybe he was even in his prayer room. So he wants him to... I mean, he could have just spoke this word that he's about to share with Jeremiah right there.
Amen.
But he doesn't. He wants him to go down to the potter's house so that he can see something. So Jeremiah says, I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from that day was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him.
Amen.
So what do you think is so powerful about, like, you know, he wants to show you something, you know?
Yeah.
And like Jeremiah, go down, see, like Abraham, look up at the stars. He wants you to get a grasp about how big he is.
Yeah.
He wants you to see it, because, like, what is the glory of God to do? It's to hide a matter.
Right.
It's the glory of a king to search a matter out.
Right.
And so one of the ways that, like we were saying this before, to be intimate is, well, start to be around people who are hungry.
Oh, amen.
Start to maybe look online about people who are hungry. For us, it was Dan Moeller. I'm telling you right now, you want to see a good red strawberry.
Yeah,
look
amen.
Up Dan Moeller. You start to see the passion that's on his life.
Amen.
It's like the Lord is showing you this is what's available. Not that we want to conform to be like Dan Moeller, but he is re-representing who Jesus is, and he loves to show his kids, this is what's available.
This is what's possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he's the author and the architect, it says in Hebrews, but he calls us to the job site. Right,
right.
Because Paul talks about what we build will be tested. And that's what, you know, it's what forms humility in you, is that Amen. The fire comes to reveal the good work.
Amen.
But talk about maybe, what do you think is so important about seeing?
Well, I think when we see what's available, we see what's possible, and we know that God doesn't show favoritism, and he's not a man that he should lie. So if he says it's possible, if Jesus says, follow me, and it's possible, and then I see somebody who's following Jesus exemplifying humility or exemplifying peace or and I say, man, I want that. Yeah. I so want that. That means it's available for me.
Right.
It's possible for me. Yeah. And so what do I need to do to get it?
Right.
And so I think what Tim's driving at is with the potter, you know, what does the clay need to do to become a pot? What does it do?
It's like I'm getting excited because I know what's coming next. It's like,
Amen.
Say it.
Well, the clay's job is just to be supple, is just to say yes to what God wants to form it into. Amen. Like I was sharing this the other day. This is kind of fun because this theme has been coming up a lot. Some of the clay might be pretty supple, but there might be a couple hard spots in the clay that don't want to conform. Does the potter then just throw the clay away? No, he puts some water on it. He works the water in. He softens the clay. Well, how does he do that? Through some situations that show the clay that, hey, you're not really lining up. You know, there's some things going on in your life. Because if we talk about peace and the first thing that occurs to you is, hey, man, I really want peace. I don't have peace in my life. Let me just tell you that living in peace is way better than not living in peace. I've lived both ways. I like peace better. I like long suffering. It's way better to worship your way through situations and be in total peace in spite of everything that's going on around you. Well, how do you get there? You go through situations that show you that you need to live in peace. Right. Amen. Right. And so the softening of the clay is just it's like the watering of the word. Right. It's just using the word. Like Paul talks about your mind being transformed. Transformed from what? From the way you were thinking.
Right.
The watering of the word softens the, you know, so my mind is transformed. I'm not thinking the way the world thinks any longer. I'm thinking that I know it's possible for my heart to be changed.
You know, and what I'm thinking too, as you're talking, I really want to address the heart that makes it available for you to even understand what Alan is saying. Like there's a heart where you see this good stuff going on in other people's lives and your heart is like, well, what do they do that, you know, what the heck, you know, and I want to tell you, that's the heart that keeps you on the outside, it's the heart that keeps you from enjoying the party. It's actually what stops you from receiving in the blessing and the anointing that the person that you're seeing is operating in. So I want to just take a second and address that. If you see that thing that you want, that character growth, that peace, that joy, favor, all the things that are added unto you when you seek first the kingdom, your response is to be, well, that's awesome. I thank you, Father, for blessing that person. And that puts you on the inside of the party. It puts you, it gives you access to something. Whereas if you have this heart of like, well, how come they got that?
Yeah. Amen.
It puts you on the outside.
Yeah.
So to get what Alan's saying and to get what Tim is saying, you have to have a heart that's supple.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's like, Amen. I'm going to rejoice in the awesome stuff that's happening to this person. That would, ultimate test is, can you rejoice when your enemies succeed? Can you?
Amen. It's a little harder.
Amen.
Well, how do you get that soft heart? This is like what like what we like to talk
this
about.
Is it.
It's like, and this is just what we do. You know, the three of us. I mean, all the time.
Amen.
All the time. My heart is hard. How do I get a soft heart? How do I go from outside? So when Josh was saying outside the party, what he's referring to is the parable of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
You know, the younger son who is really messed up and did some bad things comes in to great fanfare, but the older brother says, oh, come on. Are you kidding me? You're giving him a party? What about me? I've been here the whole time. I've been doing this. What's fun is that you recognize that the guy who had the hard heart, he's in the church. He's been going to church for 20 years, 30 years. So you could be in the church and still not be flowing in all that. And here's someone who maybe had their life totally destroyed, come in and have so much joy and peace and confidence in who God is and be flowing in gifts, signs, wonders, peace, joy, patience, kindness, self-control. Right. It seems incredible. How come them? Do I have to go out and do what they did? Right. No, I just have to receive like they did. See, the prodigal son was able to receive it because it was so obvious what was missing in his life. He was so destitute. Like I like to say, people come to us sometimes and we're ministering to, and they'll say, yeah, I just had a big crack up. I got fired from my job and it seems like everything's going, you know, and I say, awesome. Praise God.
And then he doesn't go over.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? No, because now it's a whole lot easier to see that he's my provider. He's the one who's going to give me a job. He's the one who's going to provide for me. I can't even fool myself any longer that it's my own strength. Right. And I think that's the revelation, is when I realize by my own strength,
amen,
I can't. And I have a friend, and she's the first one who said it to me. She's like, oh, yeah, oh, that's, you're trying to do it under your own strength? Great, great. Well, how's that working out for you? Well, not so good. Well, that's supposed to be the revelation. Yeah. Is this not working? Right. I can't make myself. And that's the thing that gets me so excited. That's really what called me to ministry. It's like, you can be transformed. It's real. I can truly, it's not just go to church. It's not just do the right things. And all those things are good. I'm not saying they're not. And and even if you're not a believer and you're going to church every day, at least you're hearing the message. Right. At least you're pressing in. You're at least open enough to say, Lord, something's going on. I don't know who you are completely, but at least I'm coming. But see, what gets me excited is real transformation and seeing men change and then seeing the transformation in my own life in a real way.
So godly, the Lord was sharing with me, godly principles lead to godly living.
Amen.
So you hear Alan say, you know, about his goodness and you know, like you, that person. It's always difficult trying to get that person to be excited in the midst of the trial.
Right.
But you're excited because you made your, you heard somebody say, hey, get excited about the trial. You make your body do what it's the right thing to do.
Right.
So that's how part of the transformation process is getting your body to respond correctly.
Amen.
Paul says to put to death that which belonged to your earthly nature. So even if you're faking it, you know, it, but you're getting your body to respond in the correct way.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden you get to it. It's not like an instant transformation thing. You're on the road. You're in the middle of the process.
Right.
But then maybe the first three times, maybe not so excited. But now you are. You can hear the excitement in your voice. And everybody loves that because it's like, oh, man, I just love the excitement and the passion in your voice. Because it shows, you know, it comes at a cost.
Yeah.
Amen. Right? Are you willing to do what I did to get what I got? And,
amen.
And one of the things that's cool about the prodigal son is that he recognized. Right?
Yeah.
It says in Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices are God of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Amen.
And that word broken means is that you recognize where your heart is. You're being honest with God. And that's what the younger son, the prodigal, did. He was like, wow. I've sinned, I've done this, I've done all
these
things. It's
real easy to see.
Yeah. And so, but that opens up the door to the Father's blessing. He was like, well, let's do all this. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, well, I'll give him the ring, I'll give him the sandals, and fine, calf, let's do it all. Let's do, you know, it's like he makes himself vulnerable to the desires of his people. You know, I just love, we've been talking about lately too, it's like the woman with the issue of blood.
Yeah.
It's like Jesus never released healing over her. She went and she took it.
Yeah, amen.
She took it. Amen. And so that's the Father's heart, is to bless. He's looking for ways to bless you. And so intimacy, how do you get there, is recognizing that his heart is, like you were saying, Josh, is we need to recognize his heart is to bless me.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, he wants you to see. He wants you to see. You know, it's like the potter, and maybe it's possible. Maybe if you YouTube it, you can find it. But I don't know how many potters do it with one hand.
Oh, amen.
Right? He's got to have both his hands on you. It's like, he can't just put one hand on you. It's not like, oh, there's Alan. Yeah, he, you know, all right.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of okay.
Yeah.
I think I'll bless him. It's like, no, he can't wait to get both hands on you. There's my clay. I can't wait to form him.
Yeah, amen.
You know, and it's, as we start to realize his heart and his desire to bless us, then it opens up the door for a blessing. It's a broken and a contrite heart.
Right.
Along with like that tenacity with the woman with the issue of blood. It's like, I'm going to get me some.
That concludes part one of today's Godcast. Stay tuned next week for part two. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Until next time, remember, we love you, God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. Stay blessed.